to this football club.
Hey there, how's it going? Good? Great. So, do you mind if we start? Splendid.
Yeah, welcome to Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast with him, Sean Barker, and me, Sam Davis.
And we are very much grateful to be spending the next hour or so with you.
And because the league table has now finally caught up with us saying we're safe for the past month, I'm once again wearing the Premier League home shirt. Should really think about giving this a wash, actually.
Ooh. And to remind us of the dark old days, I've gone for the mid-90s blue and black striped away shirt.
Do love that kit, though. But thanks again, wherever you are. We've had messages from across the world, as well as plenty of you lot close to Dean Court too. And we're really grateful that you're tuning in and enjoying the show.
And on that soppy note, let's get going.
Okay, then. So, coming up on the show this week...
We play your fan thoughts and then discuss the match following the defeat to Man City... Liverpool, nearly. Everton, the defeat to Everton.
And then I magically combine the online review with our feature this week as we trawl back through the one-year-on hashtag and remember that glorious 7 days from the Ross McCormack last-minute goal for Fulham all the way through to Tommy Elphick lifting the trophy at the Valley.
Oh, I can't wait to hear those good memories again. But before that, I will get hilariously punny as I'll bring you the latest club news.
Hilariously? You said that, not me, Sean. And we'll try and avoid being ironically forgetful again by bringing you not only the clues, but this week also the answer to Do You Remember?
The supporter profile this week comes from fairly close to home. Well, for me anyway, as we hear from Mike Mead, who's just a bit north of me in Auckland.
Wow, what's that now, Sean? 4 FCB fans in New Zealand?
6, Sam. I believe there are 6 of us.
Well, we'll also be bringing you a reminder of the categories in the Back of the Net end of season awards, as well as telling you some very exciting news about the soon-to-be-released Back of the Net merchandise range. You could win a shirt just by voting in the awards.
I can't wait to get the prototypes for the new Back of the Net undies.
I don't remember signing off on those. Well, before this all takes a turn for the worse, let's get underway by bringing you the fan thoughts after the Cherries went down 2-1 away to Everton at Goodison Park. But first, let's hear from the reporter at the game from Radio 5 Live, who still, incidentally, hasn't learned the golden rule of broadcasting. Keep your mobile phone away from the microphone.
Everton 2, Bournemouth 1, so a first home league win in almost 3 months for Everton, and this on the day that there was a light aircraft above the ground trailing a banner which said time to go Roberto. Well, Roberto Martinez saw Everton take the lead through Tom Cleverley after 7 minutes. They conceded 2 minutes later to Mark Pugh, but won it after 64 minutes, Leighton Baines firing high into the net. Everton 2, Bournemouth 1.
This is Big T from South Bourne. Well, we had enough chances to win that, but Simon Francis was clearly demonstrating he doesn't want to play at right back next season. He had a nightmare. It was like being tied to a chair and forced to watch Michael Ball perform the covers of Chaz and Dave. It was excruciating. And in front of him was the endless chicken of Matt Ritchie, Bournemouth's least improved player of 2016. I'll tell you what, if my asparagus turns out that poor this season, I'm going to chuck it in the bin. I don't like it. We're in the habit of losing. I'm going to sack some beer now, tips of beer inside me. Forget about the whole thing. I'll see you at the West Brom game.
Hi. James from Parkstone. I just got back. My wife's asleep, so this is my analysis of the game. We score when we want. We score when we want. No, we don't. We had chances galore. Not clinical enough at all. Pace and attack, yeah, but cannot score for Toffin. Ironic, that one. Also, we've come from League 2. We've come from League 2. We're AFC Bournemouth. We've come from League 2. Yeah, it looks like we have sometimes.
Hiya, lads. It's Mike from Ferndown here.
The Everton game was like a semi-entertaining pre-season friendly, both sides stroking the ball around, having a lovely time in the Liverpool sunshine, but in the end it was basically down to a tale of two penalty boxes. Everton took their couple of chances and Baines finished well when we were sleeping on the back post, and we missed our chances in their box. I'm looking at you, Mr. Afobe.
Thank you once again for the fan thoughts. Don't forget, after every game, you can either record your voice on your mobile phone or on your laptop and email the audio to fans@afcbpodcast.com, or you can call our answer phone 24/7 on 01202 90 10 48. This week, thank you very much to James, and I just hope he didn't wake his wife up upstairs. And Mike Brannan, thank you very much for your call too. And Big T, who's pretty wild, eh? So anyway, to have his beer. And yeah, I just hope his asparagus does turn out all right, because I don't want to be around him with a dodgy asparagus.
Apparently, asparagus is supposed to be an aphrodisiac, Sean.
Ooh la la.
So Leighton Baines got the winner against Bournemouth to end Everton's poor recent run and ease the pressure on manager Roberto Martinez. The hosts had taken an early lead when Tom Cleverley drove in a low shot, but Everton's defensive frailties resurfaced within seconds when Mark Pugh equalised for the Cherries. But Baines struck from the left of the box later to seal a first league win in 9 matches for the Toffees. But some home fans still protested against Martinez. So the final score was 2-1, Sean. We made a few changes in this. Now we had Harry Arter coming back for Dan Gosling, Callum Wilson for Graban, and then Matt Ritchie, who replaced Stanislas. What were your thoughts on that? Bit of mind games from Eddie Howe with Harry Arter, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. You know, the whole, oh, we're going to look after him, we're going to ease him in, whatever. And we should have seen what was coming, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we should have. And I thought he did all right, though. He actually played, you know, very well. Obviously, we're going to go through each and every one of the 90 minutes shortly. However, yeah, you know, I thought it was quite nice. Great to see Callum Wilson back starting again as well.
Yeah, it was. We did predict that Wilson would get a good run out this time. And yeah, he looked good. He looked strong. And he was making those runs down the channels that he makes. And yeah, hopefully, I don't think it'll be too long till we'll see him back on the score sheet. Richie coming back in. I know Big T's not a big fan, but I think what Richie did give us was he was cutting in really well. And he had, was it 2 or 3 chances on the edge of the box with his snapshots where he probably should have got one on target and a bit closer to going in the net. But yeah, I thought that was quite positive. But yeah, Big T, not a big fan.
Yeah, and Matt Ritchie, it was the same sort of range as what Tom Cleverley shot at after 7 minutes. And it was a left-footed strike. And, well, it was a great shot into the bottom right-hand corner. He sort of sidestepped, was it Simon Francis? And managed to get a bit of room. And then it was a, you know, very tidy finish there.
It was. The only thing, not the only thing, because it went in, so I was disappointed about that. But the main thing that disappointed me was the pressure that we were putting on the players, or lack of, throughout the game, really. I think we gave them a lot of space. And what was noticeable for me with that first goal was that whenever the ball's out wide, we're normally really good at doubling up on the player on the ball. So you will see time and time again, you'll see the right back and you'll see the right midfielder, or obviously on the left-hand side guys, we'll get a 2-on-1. So we at least make it a bit more difficult. But for the goal, Baines got the ball out wide. He was 1-on-1. He's played it into Barkley. Barkley's 1-on-1. He feeds it to Cleverley. And it was just all a little bit easy, I thought. You know, there wasn't the pressure there in the 2-on-1s to make it more difficult. Once it was at Cleverley, you kind of have to give credit really for the turn. And then the shot in the bottom corner. Could Boric have got down a little bit quicker? Positionally, I thought he was okay. I think maybe if he was down a little bit faster, he probably could have got a hand to push it away. I think he did get a little touch, but it just kind of went underneath him, which does point to the fact that maybe he was just a little bit slow getting down.
But it's good that we got back into it almost straight away. Within, it felt like a minute. I don't know the exact timing, but Callum Wilson with some good work down the right, bordering on a foul. We'll talk about that shortly. But he crossed it in to Josh King, and I wasn't sure whether at the time Josh King was shooting or what. But anyway, it found Mark Pugh, and he kind of had to... It was a decent strike, really, considering he had to move his feet quite a bit. Obviously, the keeper got a touch on it, but yeah, 1-1.
Yeah, and perfect time to get back in the game, because after we conceded, I was just shouting, not again. You know, we just keep giving these teams a goal start, and thankfully, yeah, it did come pretty quickly. We went straight down the end. I think it was, yeah, I think a minute 50 or something, I think the commentator was saying. But yeah, you say good work by Wilson out wide. I know people have different views. For me, I can't believe that wasn't given as a foul. I mean, he's put his hands out and he shoved him, albeit not massively, but he's pushed him in the back. So he's pushed him from behind. So it's not like they're side by side and they're both jostling for the ball. You know, Pennington's the favourite to get there. Wilson just puts his arm out and shoves him. And yeah, obviously they all stop because they think it's going to be a free kick. As yeah, and good work by Wilson. I mean, that's doing what he does really well, which I've noticed Josh King's been doing more and more, actually. And I think that's one of the strengths of King throughout this season, is he's got better. He's got more dominating with that running out wide into the channel and then cutting back in. And then, yeah, tease it across to King. When you watch it back, no, it was definitely a little cheeky chip through, little scoop pass to Pugh, quick swivel and a hit, back of the net. But for me, that's a foul every day of the week.
I don't know, because when I haven't actually watched it again. Well, I only saw it again once, but maybe if I see it from different angles, I may, you know, agree with you. But Bolton game last year, Bolton at home, the 3-0 win that we all like to watch again and again on YouTube. There was a situation in the first couple of minutes where Charlie Daniels played a long ball through and it met Callum Wilson. And he did, to me, exactly the same thing against the Bolton defender. I think it's DeVeet or something. And he barged him off the ball and then had a shot, which Bogdan saved. He should have squared it really to Pugh. But to me, it didn't seem any different to that. But I don't know.
No, I can't remember it vividly right now, that actual moment, but I'm pretty sure he was more side on. I think it was more of a shoulder. He just put his arms out and just shoved him in the back.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, it's glad it was good that we scored it, and it's good to see that at least he's got that aggression and the the pace, and he's slow. You know what? Hopefully he's going to, you know, be that player again, and we're going to see a goal from him between now and the end of the season. Shame he didn't get on the score sheet. Matt Ritchie had a couple of chances in the game that were blocked or went wide, but really the rest of the first half there wasn't anything of note, really, was there?
Not really. I mean, it was a pretty open game, wasn't it? It was two sides. Again, it was just another game where it looked like it was two sides that didn't really have anything to play for, and both sides were getting, you know, to knock the ball around a little bit without really hurting either goalkeeper. And yeah, it just kind of pitted out to half time, really.
Yeah, that's right. So after 60 minutes, Everton made a substitution and they had Lukaku who came on. And I think he's always strong up front. And, well, it wasn't long before Everton then took the lead 2-1. Leighton Baines, left-footed shot from the centre of the box to the top left-hand corner, assisted by Tom Cleverley on the right. Have you really got anything to say about that goal, Sean?
He was free and unmarked at the back post, so I guess you could say, well, how was he given that kind of space? But again, we just sat off them a little bit and they were able to drive into the area, which, funny enough, was a little bit like their third goal at our place when they scored in the 95th minute when they scored, and then we scored in the 98th. But that was a goal where we kind of backed off, and all of a sudden there's a lot of players in the area and they're playing these little passes in behind us. And it was just, you'd have liked to have seen us hold them a little bit higher up the field, because once you get a guy in behind, you know, 5-6 yards out putting a cross in, it's always going to be difficult. But yeah, it was a disappointing goal.
I said this on Twitter actually at the time, like, you know, after the game, I really didn't have an opinion on it. I think I've just been numbed from recent performances. But Junior Stanislas replaced Mark Pugh, and I thought he did okay. His final ball sometimes let him down, but you know, the way he, you know, runs very directly, he's like a sort of Ryan Fraser-esque sort of character.
Yeah, it was his best performance since he's come back from injury, wasn't it? The first couple of appearances just hasn't really looked like the junior we saw earlier on. Whereas, yeah, that was a really, really positive sign, actually. I thought he was really good. I thought he was good, as I thought Mark Pugh was good too.
Mm. So Afobe came on replacing Josh King, and then on 78 minutes, Callum Wilson crossed, and oh my God, I don't know if he was expecting it or what, because Callum Wilson was approaching the byline, and I didn't think he was going to get the cross in time, but he managed to, you know, wrap his right foot around it, and then it was the perfect chance for Bennick, and over the bar it went. He should have done better, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you're right. Maybe it caught him off guard. And also, it was quite a bit of pace coming in from Wilson. But, you know, bearing in mind that Afobe, I think, was coming from a standing start, having a ball coming at you at pace means you don't have to worry about getting any power. All you need to do is make sure you get it on target. And it was like he just jumped a little bit late because he didn't quite get over the ball, did he? I think he kind of headed it on his way up instead of kind of on his way down, if that makes sense. Whereas if he was over the ball, he probably could have directed it. And it would have been a goal because it would have had a huge power on it. But I think that was Wilson's last bit of action, I think, before he got subbed. I think he came off after that. But again, that was good to see. But yeah, you want to see that stick in the back of the net.
Yeah. So, 2-1 full time. Very disappointing. However, like I say, it's not like we're not used to it, is it? But on a brighter side, we got some fantastic puns that came in. And firstly, Steve Wright, actually, this wasn't a pun, but he just wanted to tweet us and say he thought the Callum looked strong, held off defenders well, just needs a goal versus West Brom to reward his hard work. Yeah, so we certainly agree with you, Steve. So the puns. Right, mm-hmm. Gazza on Twitter, or Gary, well, I think he'd had a few bottles of wine, but here he goes. Cherries get stuck in toffee, but end up sweet by staying up.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Considering, yeah, clearly had one or two wines. That's not a bad effort. Not a bad effort.
And then it was the bane of my life. That was him as well. He said he admitted that it's late and he was drunk. Say no more. So, yeah, we'll leave that one there and just let that settle. Okay. Yeah, it was rubbish. Nobby Dog then said, with three courses left, Cherries failed to get through the sticky toffee pudding. Well done, Nobby Dog. That wasn't bad, was it?
That's good. I like Nobby Dog's. That's 2 weeks in a row. We've had some good ones there.
And then Robert Murphy, he had a similar pun. Cleverly worked goal leaves Cherries in sticky toffee situation, but results elsewhere prove sweeter. That was good. That's good.
Is that on debut? I think
it is.
I think that's Robert's first appearance. That's strong. That's a strong first effort.
Cleverly worked. Sticky toffee situation, exceptional puns there. Really good stuff. Hey, Sean, you know what else was really good? Leicester winning the league.
Oh, my word. Yep. So just before we went to press, we just watched the Chelsea Spurs game. I caught the end of it. And it was amazing to see how pumped up Chelsea were. I was listening to Talk Sport, actually, just before we started recording. And there was a Spurs fan phoned up and he was going wild. He was disgusted at Chelsea's performance, where they've been all season and all this kind of stuff. And the fact they had a free kick on the edge of the box, it's 2-2 in the 95th minute or whatever, to win the game, and Willian, instead of having a shot, just plays it, I think, to Hazard to take it into the corner. It was clear they did not want Spurs to win the league. But just kind of echo what many people have said, really. I think it was brilliant that Leicester have won the league, you know, regardless of, you know, if you want to be picky, and some people are saying, oh well, I'm not a big fan of their football style, but do you know what, I would rather that than have somebody spend $250 million on really good football to win the league. You know, to have that from a team of players that were discarded by other clubs, didn't cost a lot of money, you know, and we know that story more than many, you know. I just think it's really, really great. And of course, the big news is that Gary Lineker's going to be wearing his undies for the match of the day, which, you know, for back of the net listeners, you should know that's not a new thing here, because I always do my show in my undies.
Yeah, sit down, Sean. I don't want to be seeing that right now. Anyway, well done to the Tinker Man. And Sean, you've been tinkering with a few clues this week, haven't you?
I have, yeah. So do you remember this week has a player which is a little bit more recent, actually. So we're trying to make sure that we, you know, we get some older ones, but also some slightly newer. So this one isn't from that long ago, but I reckon it might catch you out until the last clue. I'm going to say the last clue, most people are going to get it, but have a listen to this.
This player was born on the 21st of December 1985 in Cardiff, Wales, and started his footballing life as part of the youth team at Bristol City, but never made an appearance for the Robins. He signed for the Cherries, having impressed on trial during the pre-season of the 05-06 season, and made his debut away at Torquay in the Football League Cup first round. He became a regular in the side that season, even getting a call-up for the Wales under-21 squad, although he was unable to participate as the Cherries could not release him due to an injury crisis and lack of first-team players. He was a left-back who was released by the Cherries at the end of the 06-07 season, having made 45 appearances during his time with the club. He was famed for always being cold and hence needing to wear gloves and stockings. Do you remember? Do you remember?
There you go, listener. Do you remember? Which, yeah, I reckon most would have got that by the last clue. So come on, Sam, tell me you got it.
Seriously, I haven't. This is bugging me. This really, you know what? I don't know. I honestly have not got a clue. The Wales under-21. Did you say under-21s? But it didn't quite happen.
Mm-hmm. He got selected, but he never got going because back then we just didn't have enough players to release him.
I'm going to feel so embarrassed once. You know what, Sean? I think I need to have a good old think about this, and you need to step aside into your news booth and. Let's have some club news.
Okay, just give me a sec. I'm just going to go into the booth now. Oh, these undies are tight this week.
AFC B Club News.
I'm going to bring out the big dog first up. The Cherries say, fair play, you've got me, as the club has a fine day. The release of the AFC Bournemouth accounts this week show that the club were fined a figure of £7.6 million, having failed to meet the requirements of the financial fair play rules during last year's championship-winning season. Under the rules, you are not permitted to make an adjusted loss amount higher than £6 million, with the Cherries posting a loss of £39.1 million for the year to 31st of July 2015. Within the books, you can also see that the staff costs rose from £17.3 million per year to £30.4 million, with turnover increasing from £10.1 to £12.9 million. Of course, having secured Premier League football for next season, the club are now in line to receive the massive new TV payout, so a measly £7.6 million fine seems like loose change. What has happened to our club? Ings brings shiny things to the Cherries' bank balance. It looks like 200,000 shiny golden ladies are on their way to the Cherries financial team after a transfer tribunal has ordered Liverpool need to pay Burnley £6.5 million in transfer fee for Danny Ings. Ings let his contract expire at Burnley at the end of last season so he could join Liverpool, but because he was a homegrown player under 23, it meant the Reds still needed to pay money to the Claretts. Ings was part of the Cherries youth setup, and when transferred to Burnley, there was a sell-on clause attached, which meant the club would be owed money from any future sales. The grass may be greener on the other side of the fence, but please stay off it. The club have issued a statement this week to all fans attending the final home game of the season this weekend versus West Brom to say that they are not to go on the pitch at the final whistle. The sight of thousands of fans running on the grass at the conclusion of the home campaign has been a regular occurrence in line with the staggering successes the team have achieved over the last few years. But this season, the club faced the prospect of a heavy fine should scenes occur, as the Premier League are very strict on their image and how the teams and fans are to behave. Additionally to this, Jeff Mostyn has explained there are serious health and safety risks, as this year has been the first season to see the large LED advertising boards around the pitch, which are not meant to be leaned on or climbed over. Online, it seems some fans are hell-bent on ignoring this statement as they believe it is a club tradition. But having been there when a Pulis-led AFC Bournemouth finished 17th in the third tier, I can definitely state this has not always been a tradition.
AFC B Club News.
And thank you very much, Sean, for the club news. I've got to say, those boxer shorts, if we're going to get these back of the net branded ones, I think I want a pair myself. Great show there, Sean. And also, well done on the puns. This week, I've actually got to congratulate you because they weren't bad this week.
Thank you very much. Yep, I'm pretty much in the flow now, eh?
So the Cherries say, fair play, you've got me, as the club has a fine day. That's not bad.
It's genius. That is genius. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the standard that I have now set for future pun headlines.
But then you've got one that says, Ings brings shiny things to the Cherries bank balance. I wouldn't say that's a pun. That's just rhyming, Sean.
Yeah, it's good, though. Still nice.
And the grass may be greener on the other side of the fence, but please stay off it too.
Yeah, that's actually, I mean, aside from the glorious headline, it's an interesting debate that's going on, isn't it? The whole, I don't care, I'm going to go on the pitch anyway, you can't stop me. And, you know, in past years, it has been, you know, this huge sense of achievement and everyone's run on because of what it's meant. I just, like, this season does, it has to trump every other season, right? Because staying in the Premier League has to be bigger. But the fact that, you know, we stayed up and there's still been 5-6 games to go or whatever, yeah, I don't know. It is different. The edge is slightly taken off. And if the club are saying stay off the pitch, and, you know, I think they have valid reasons for it, then I would say, please, just stay off the pitch. Let the players come back out. Because I think from their perspective, you know, if the fans run on the pitch, that means the players have to leg it off the pitch and they have to disappear into the changing room and that's it. See ya. You know, and all right, you can stand on the grass and take a photo of you on your phone and all that stuff. But the players are stuck in the dressing room. You know, stay off. Let them come out with their kids, their family. Let them walk around and actually you can show your appreciation. And I guess for me, I think the work they have done this year against everything means they deserve that moment and that time. And so, yeah, I'm saying forget about your own personal, you know, thoughts and just give the players the respect.
Yeah, no, I actually agree with you on that completely. I think really, you know, we've done all that. We've done it many a time before, and apparently there's a chance of a fine that we could that could be incurred as a result of that. If that happens, I think anyone that goes on the pitch should basically share the cost of the fine. Hopefully it'll financially cripple them so much that proper fans can get the season tickets next year, eh? handbags, I know. But no, you know, it makes sense. You don't want to be chasing players down and then, you know, Callum Wilson gets another ACL as he jogs off the pitch. You don't want that.
Well, it's just, you know, you're just not going to see scenes of Harry Arda getting piggy, you know, on somebody's shoulders going nutballs because, you know, we stayed up. Like that, you know what I mean? It's just, it's not taking anything away from what they've achieved, but it's just, yeah, I just think this year there's a better way we can celebrate it. Mm. But talking about that glorious day where everyone did go on the pitch and it was all super duper exciting, the feature this week done by Sam is to celebrate the hashtag of 1 year on, because obviously a year to the day was this week where we celebrated going up into the Premier League. So Sam takes a look back online at that hashtag to relive the great memories in terms of commentary of what happened last year, but also your thoughts as you remember 1 year on of us getting into the Premier League.
This week, the Twittersphere was mainly spending its time reminiscing our championship run-in because it was exactly hashtag 1 year on since that fateful 7 day period that saw Middlesbrough send the keeper up, Puey netted the first of 3 goals to see us promoted, and then a memorable lunchtime kickoff at Charlton saw the Reds crowned champions as Watford conceded a last-minute goal to Sheffield Wednesday. The tweets and videos that we're getting bounded about certainly put a tear in many of our eyes, and in this extended online review slash feature, we'll be reliving the best bits from that week. So, let's go back a year. So with Bournemouth playing on the Monday night live on Sky against Bolton, on the Saturday, Middlesbrough and Norwich both dropped points. Sending the keeper up probably wasn't the best idea, eh, Karanka? Fulham scored a last-minute goal, Ross McCormack made it 4-3, and this paved the way for Bournemouth to be potentially promoted on the Monday night. So, 11,000 people packed into Dean Court. It's 7:45 p.m. The atmosphere was bubbling with fervour, and for the first 37 minutes, Bournemouth were knocking on Bolton's door. We had a few scares where Adam Lafondra had a header, but thankfully Boric was on call to save it, and we had chance after chance, but the Bolton keeper Bogdan just kept us at bay. Until, on 38 minutes, this happened.
Richie. Maybe on Walker. Pugh! That'll do it! That will do it! Pugh for Bournemouth!
£4,000 is what Harry Arter costs. You know, £4,000.
Daily of the century, yeah. Isn't it?
Here comes a cross and a chance at the back post from Mark Pugh for Bournemouth. Shoot! Scores! Bournemouth take the lead! And has Mark Pugh scored a goal to bring Bournemouth to the Premier League next season? Boy, he hit that well. Bournemouth 1, Bolton 0. They've got 1 foot in the top flight.
Well, Kerman getting this peeled out wide, down the right side of the box. Richie has it with some great skill. Richie's ball in at the back post. Pugh with a chance to control. Can he get a shot away? Pugh's left footer! Mark Pugh! It's the first step towards the Premier League as Mark Pugh smashes it into the top left corner. A magnificent finish, and Dean Court goes wild, and the Cherries are a step closer to the dream. Bournemouth 1, Bolton 0.
And what a goal that was. Alice Curtis tweeted, "Pugh, that'll do it." Matt Sturgeon said, "Having my glasses squashed into my face and smacking my teeth onto someone's head when Pugh scored. Hashtag 1 year on." And then Kerry Payton said, "Pugh for Bournemouth. Hashtag best night ever." And it wasn't long before we were all celebrating again.
Wilson. Oh, what a pass, Kermigans.
Richie! They're turning on the stone now, Bournemouth. Matt Richie with a really classy goal. Well, this is absolutely magnificent. It underlines.
It just breaks from the left-hand side. Wilson into the box. Bit of space at the back post. Kermigan for Richie! Yeah. 2-0!
The Cherries bench erupts! The men in red and black chase around! And again, they can smell it! They can feel it! They can nearly touch it! Bournemouth heading for the Premier League! They lead Bolton 2-0!
Into the penalty area. Needs to check his run. Gives a good cross. Into the penalty area. Richie! 2-0! Oh, they can taste the Premier League now! Bournemouth doubled their lead before half-time! And the Goldsand Stadium gets ready for the gold and the riches of the Premier League!
We did really turn on the style, didn't we? And thankfully, it was all wrapped up in the second half.
Here's
still keeping it alive. Wilson, lovely touch, beautiful finish. Well, it wouldn't have been a Bournemouth night without this fella getting in on the act. Callum Wilson, 23 for the season for him, and that is that. Yeah, Bournemouth take another giant step towards the Premier League. Again, with three or four more of those tricks from his locker. Runs into the defender, then plays a lovely ball to Daniels, pulls it back, Wilson trying to spin. Wilson! There it is! Callum Wilson, fittingly, the Cherries' top scorer. Eddie's army are going barmy. They're going to the Premier League.
Here is a pullback to Wilson. Great turn, brilliant goal! It comes for Callum Wilson, his 23rd of the season. And Bournemouth's top scorer puts the cherry on top for the Cherries. The Premier League beckons.
So, final score, Bournemouth 3, Bolton 0. And Robbie Sargent, Korsakoff on Twitter, he had to park his car about 2 miles away from the ground, but I bet he was pleased he got there. Raffy on Twitter said, best game I've ever been to and probably will ever go to. Nick Christopher tweeted, remembering my daughter telling me I was embarrassing her as I had tears in my eyes after Richie had just made it 2-0. Kevin Anderson said, the feeling that the South Stand was going to collapse due to the epic amount of people jumping. John Flanagan said, loving the 1 year on trend, unbelievable that night, so nervous all day, Prosecco when I was back home. And then Hey It's Nat on Twitter said, oh my god, can't believe it's been a year since we were promoted, still remember every minute of that match. Aaron Waldron, crying with pride and then crying with laughter after this, legendary moment. Harry Coburn said, the realisation of where we have come from and the confidence we showed against Bolton and still today, hashtag proud. Mr. O tweeted, I was tearing up at how completely drunk out of his skull Maxim was. They'd have chucked him out in the East Stand. And Red and Black 68 was standing in the North Stand, staring out forever after the final whistle, speechless and emotional. And it wasn't just the Bournemouth fans that were pleased. There were people calling up Radio 5 Live, even a Scouser who supports Liverpool, who said he was so proud of the boys.
But to see a club like Bournemouth, what they've done. Watford were the same, fourth, third, second, first, and finished runners-up to Liverpool. And sitting here, I'm 70 now, and this has done my heart good, to listen to this commentary, and what a wonderful little football club. And when they say little, you know what I mean, a family yes. club, and what a wonderful performance Eddie Howe has done. And well done to all those Bournemouth fans when they were 15 points adrift 6 years ago, and they stuck by them, travelling to the likes of Carlisle. They're the true supporters, and I'm so pleased.
I came to my first game when I was a little boy. My dad took me, 7 years old, in 1964. So I've been waiting for this game, this night, for 51 years. Wow. Where do I start? The man is an inspiration, an absolute inspiration. What he has achieved for this football club, it's difficult to put into words. I think that he's a managerial genius, and he's a legend. And who knows where his career will take him.
I live in Wales. I used to live down here, and I'm one of the many exiles that come down, and I come quite regularly from mid Wales. Oh, amazing. I was just saying that the first game I think it was that I saw was Boxing Day 1955 against Watford, and Bournemouth won 4-0.
So a couple of other views from Bournemouth fans there. So Bournemouth were promoted, or were they? We were playing Charlton on the last game of the season, and they tweeted, Bournemouth celebrating like they've completely ruled out a 19-0 defeat at the Valley on Saturday. We'll see. Sam Green, an AFC Bournemouth fan, said, love this tweet. Still can't believe we went up and stayed up. Tom Jordan tweeted, back in 2009, Eddie said he didn't want to be the man who took us out of the Football League. Last year, he did just that. AFCB 1 year on. And the players, well, they had a good time, as did the chairman. That was in the changing room after the game, and this was Halo Nightclub in Bournemouth. So it was certainly a very ropey Tuesday morning, but the boys got back to training and then prepared for the big match on Saturday against Charlton Athletic. How would it go? Well, it certainly went well on the pitch for AFCB.
Royal Joseph about that. Cook plays it out to Daniels, who's taken a position of, and a lovely first-time ball into Pugh. Pugh approaching the D, plays it into Kermigan, back to goal, 16 yards out. Holds it up for Ritchie! Off the post! 1-0 Bournemouth at the Valley! Another fantastic first-time strike from Matt Ritchie. 14 league goals for the season for the Scottish international, and that one as sweet as the goal against Bolton on Monday. And Bournemouth deserved it.
I got to 10 but lost it, and Matty put the ball. Oh,
now he has given it away. Arta into the box, 2-0. Mistake made, confusion between Tal Ben-Haim and Yoni Boyens, and Harry Arta said thank you very much. He scores. It's 2 in 3 minutes for Bournemouth. It is easy, as the fans are already chanting. It's Charlton 0, Bournemouth 2. Just fluffed the pass, really, but he might get it back. And now Wilson has, and then a lunging challenge from Solly. Only goes as far as Daniels. Doesn't shoot. Clever pass. Ritchie in the box. Gets it out from under his feet. Shoots again! Matt Ritchie started the afternoon. He's finishing the afternoon. He punches the sky and celebrates with the Cherries fans and his players. They've got their goal in front of them, the 4,000 happy fans. And Matt Ritchie has 15 for the season.
So Bournemouth were leading 3-0 at the Valley, doing what they had to do, but down the road at Vicarage Road, unfortunately, Sheffield Wednesday weren't quite reading the same script. Until that is, this.
Sheffield Wednesday get an equaliser. Maguire tosses the ball in. Nuio on the stretch. Here's Mello. Lifts the ball high. Deeney is there defending the edge of the six-yard box. Danger still not cleared. Wednesday. Nuio's there. Yes! And Wednesday have equalised. The Wednesday fans behind the goal go absolutely bananas. And that could be a real game changer as regards the championship title. That will be a goal that reverberates all the way across to the Bournemouth-Charlton game as well. But Ati Nuiu on the stretch has brought Wednesday level and may well be about to deny Watford the title. Watford 1, Sheffield Wednesday 1.
It's not enough for Andrew Sermon. He sprinted towards the goal, picked the ball out the back of the net, and put it on the... Have they drew, Adam?
I think there must be a goal at Watford. Cherries fans are celebrating. We'll get news. It is 1-1 at Vicarage Road. What a minute in the championship season. Matt Ritchie scores, and Sheffield Wednesday equalise at Vicarage Road within seconds. Bournemouth atop of the championship table with 5 minutes to go at the Valley.
So that was the moment we knew that AFC Bournemouth were on top of the table. And this was the moment when the Watford Wednesday result was confirmed.
Roger Johnson gets it away from him, and then Smith grapples with Boyens as Charlton win a free kick, and Bradley Johnson has a second for Norwich. It's 4, and I think Sheffield Wednesday might have scored again, or it's full time at Vicarage Road. We will find out. Ritchie with a big smile. It is full time at Vicarage Road. 1-1 between Watford and Sheffield Wednesday, and Tommy Elphick punches the sky with both hands. The Cherries are going up as champions. 3-0 leaders here. Matt Ritchie screams yes to the sky. Jan Kermigant on the sidelines celebrates, punches as well. Mark Pugh hugs Ryan Fraser. Bournemouth are going to go up as champions and title winners in the championship as they head to the Premier League.
And what a scene that was at the Valley, as Bournemouth ended up championship champions. And Stu Bramley, well, he decided to sing his enjoyment by saying, "Here's to you, Athene Yuhu, Bournemouth loves you more than you all know." Whoa! And then Cameron on Twitter, who's fantastic, thought he'd do it in poetry by tweeting, "Roses are red, violets are blue, goal for Sheffield Wednesday, Athene Yuhu." And he quoted all the hashtags there, including Watford FC, who must have been sorely disappointed. And even better, the Wednesday fans were singing our name. And what a great set of supporters they are, and we wish them all the best in the championship playoffs. Liam Grace tweeted, "Boy oh boy, what I'd give to relive all this again." Well, Liam, hopefully this has helped. So, what was your favourite moment? Steve Phillips said, "This was my favourite moment," and he posted a video where Adam Smith was orchestrating the AFC Bournemouth crowd behind him whilst taking a video with his mobile phone. Beautiful moment, Smudger. Rob Meach said, "I can't believe Charlton away was a year ago. I know we had Sheffield Wednesday to thank, but our performance that day was spectacular. Champions." And as many people were watching the Bolton match online, Joe Lockhart said, "I've gone all hipster tonight and watched Charlton instead of Bolton. Forgot how good we were that day." But remembering the plight of our former championship colleagues, Katie, CalamityKate67 on Twitter said, "So, poor Charlton could see the championship trophy presented on their pitch for the second year running, as Burnley could be confirming it there next weekend." But anyway, what a season it was, and what a great chance to reminisce with the well-thought-out one-year-on hashtag. And of course, a certain Leicester City avoided the drop last season, as did we this season. I wonder what happened to them.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Glass, and this is Back of the Net.
Supporter Profile. What is your name?
Mike Mead.
Where do you live?
Auckland, New Zealand.
First Bournemouth game attended?
That will be Torquay at home in the League Cup in the 1970-71 season. We lost 2-1, which is reasonably typical.
Favourite player of all time?
Oh, jeepers. Fred Davis, because he used to live down our street. Kenny Allen, because I used to play cricket with him. And obviously, when he got whacked by the old man at Tranmere. Keith Miller was a favourite in the old days. Derek Showers, Phil Ashworth, because he was so hopeless. Neil Haig. No particular real favourite, though.
Favourite current player?
Oh, jeepers. A guy like Harry Arter. I think probably Harry Arter, the goals he scored. I mean, I think all the years of watching Bournemouth live, they've obviously, the quality of football is so much better now, but just I think the one thing that stood out for me, the recent team, is unbelievable goals they've scored.
Favourite all-time AFCB game?
Favourite all-time game? Man United in the Cup, the 2-0 win, Fulham away to clinch the championship, and the Southport game in 76, so the bomb scare game, where we all had to go on the pitch. They're probably three that stand out.
Your greatest AFCB goal?
Oh, that's pretty easy. Ted Max at Villa Park. Not much can go past that one. But like I said before, some of the goals that the team have scored in the last couple of years have been pretty spectacular, but no, I think Ted Mack wins out there.
Best moment as a Bournemouth fan?
Again, probably beating Man United 2-0. It was one of the few times that anyone acknowledged that Bournemouth existed in those days, when we didn't get laughed at school or whatever. So supporting Bournemouth.
If you could sign any player, past or present, who would it be?
Oh, you'd have to re-sign Harry Redknapp, chuck him back on the wing.
Your chant of choice?
Benson out was always a good one that went on for quite a while, but I can't really remember a lot of chants. We didn't used to have much of a crowd in my day to chant much.
What league position will we finish in this season?
16th, unfortunately. From this distance, halfway around the world, looks like I suspect the players have gone on holiday a little bit, or mentally enough that, I can't Yeah, 16th. But hey, who cares? They're still up.
Thank you to Mike Mead down here in New Zealand for being the supporter profile this week. All from Auckland. So just, he's a fair way from me. I'm in Wellington, but same island. And prior to that, Sammy, great feature there. And just, I still get goosebumps and tears in my eyes listening to the commentary of those goals going in and just remembering, you know, 1 year on, what just a spectacular and unbelievably incredible week that was.
So, Cherries are entertaining West Brom on Saturday in a 3 p.m. kickoff at the Vitality Stadium. Of course, that's Saturday, 7th of May. West Brom are no slouches. They recently got a result at Spurs. But aside from that, it's going to be an interesting game. Chance to get our first double. Who knows? We may get it against West Brom. Of course, West Brom did lose at home 3-0 at the weekend to West Ham. So it's going to be an interesting one. My main focus is on the starting 11 for AFCB because I'm very intrigued what Eddie's going to do, Sean.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether he is going to make any changes or not. The only possible thing is, does he want to have a look at Afobe and Wilson playing together? I guess that's my main thought, is are we going to see those two start? In which case, though, where does King fit into that? Can you really drop King? Or does he go out wide and does one of the wide guys miss out? Yeah, but that's, I guess that's the main thing. And whether Arta got through the game okay and whether he's going to get another run or was that one and done for him?
For me, this is another one as well. Like Mark Pugh, for as good as he's been recently, popped up with a goal on Saturday. He's been great for us recently. But I do think Junior Stanislas just, you know, gives us that something different when he comes on. I would actually like to see Stanislas start. Matt Ritchie did all right the weekend. I would actually like to see Josh King, Wilson and Afobe all on the pitch at the same time. But is that possible? I mean, you know, Josh Wing. Well, can Josh Wing play on the King or the other way around?
Like, that's a good pun.
Yeah. Can, you know, he's been converted to a striker as such. Will Eddie Howe still utilise him as a potential winger? Like, i.e., could he replace Matt Ritchie?
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad shout. I think we've seen King in a few games. He's actually gone out wide for different parts of the game, and I think he can look really good out there. He's just got that pace and that strength that whether he's playing up the top or whether he's playing out wide, I think he can hurt players.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of a headline. Wing King Josh does his thing. I don't know. But anyway, what do you think? I mean, scores? Have you got any predictions? Have you got any thoughts about this one? Are we going to do it? Me, personally, I'm going to go first this time. I reckon we're going to get a win. West Ham, as I said, put three past them. We need to finish on a high. I know we've had a number of matches where we've had a chance to, you know, get a result recently, but I don't know. We usually finish the season pretty well at home. The season's gone by. So, yeah, I'm thinking we're going to win this and we're going to win it 2-0. And I think Josh King or Josh Wing is going to score the winner.
Yeah, I want to see us. We need to pick up some points before the season ends, right? We can't finish as we are now. And I'd like to see us treat this like a cup final and go, do you know what? Let's just go all in on this game. Let's give it everything we've got. Let's get that intensity back that we've, you know, it has dropped off a few percent since we kind of hit the over the 40 points. So let's have a big game. Let's really get at them early. The crowd gets super excited and we are going to win this 3-1. I think they'll get one. I'm going to go 3-1. Wilson gets one. Graben gets one, Stanislas gets one.
Love it. Okay, well, so what's your predictions then? Let us know. Send us a tweet. We are at AFCB Podcast.
This is Steve Jones and you're listening to Back of the Net.
Now, as you hopefully have heard on last week's show or seen online, we are currently underway with the Back of the Net end of season awards. So the voting's been open for a week, and there is 1 week to go to get your votes in for the 10 categories. And Sam's going to give you a little reminder now of the categories and also how you can vote.
Indeed. So the categories are Player of the Season, Most Improved Player, Match of the Season, The Best Away Ground Visited, The Best Atmosphere, Funniest Chant, The Assist of the Year, Save of the Year, AFC Bournemouth's Best Goal, and Supporter of the Year. Now, if you want to vote, all you got to do is go to our website, which is afcbpodcast.com/awards. Or just pop to our homepage and you'll see the awards link at the top. Just leave your details and leave as many answers if you can. If you're not sure on one of the answers, do not worry, just leave it blank. But send in your submission because it'll all get counted. And plus, if you enter, you've got a chance to win one of our incredible back of the net t-shirts.
This is very exciting. So we didn't announce this in the show last week. This is a sneaky little thing that came out this week. So everybody that fills in the form and enters with their votes goes into the draw to win a soon-to-be-released back-of-the-net t-shirt. So we've got a full range of merchandise, which is going to come out soon. There's going to be life-size models of Sam. It's going to be Sean face masks. It's going to be everything you could ever wish for. But the lucky person that picked up is going to win themselves a back of the net t-shirt, which has got back of the net on it, and it has in big letters across the front, Eddie had a dream.
Amazing. So don't forget to vote. Remember, it's afcbpodcast.com/awards.
Yep, so you've got until next Monday to get your votes in, and wherever you are in the world, you can register to vote, because if you are the lucky winner of the back of the net t-shirt, we will cover the cost of postage wherever you are.
So thank you once again for listening to another episode of Back of the Net with myself and Sean. And remember, if you haven't subscribed already, whether you're listening on an iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, whatever, make sure you subscribe. And of course, you can do it on YouTube as well. All the ways to listen are on our website, afcbpodcast.com, and you can click the How to Listen link. And also, why don't you tell your friends too? Do you remember in the days of Ken Gardner, the chairman at the time, and he had this slogan on one of the videos that they launched, and it said, bring a mate, double the gate. Well, we should have a slogan. What about, get a mate to here and we'll buy you a beer. Maybe we won't buy you the beer, but anyway, make sure you tell your friends, because we would love to get more people tuning in and getting involved in the show too. Now, I've got a note here on my laptop that says, do you remember? I've got no idea what that's referring to, Sean.
Do you remember the feature, Sam? Remember where we always give the answer at the end of the show and we never forget? We always, always tell people the answer. Yeah, we forgot last week. Sorry. So this week I thought it was pretty easy, but we've gone through the show and Sam has that perplexed. I mean, he's always got a slightly perplexed face, but today he looks even more confused. So, Sam, have you got any idea who it is?
It's going to kill me once you tell me. I've got no idea. And you said it was 2005, 2006. Played like 40-odd games, you said. This is going to... So a regular left-back, so 40-odd games is two seasons. I really don't know. And as soon as you say it, I'm going to be hanging my head in shame.
See, the thing that was, the last clue, I was like, oh, I'll throw this one in. So he was famous for always wearing these stockings underneath his shorts and socks, like even when it was really hot, he'd always have gloves on. The other thing that I didn't say as a clue was that he often had a bit of colour in his hair. Like, so he went through a stage where he had red in his hair as well.
Hang on. Okay. No, I don't know.
Callum Hart.
Oh my word. Yes. I can't
Callum
believe
Callum Hart.
Oh, well done. Yeah. Well done.
Oh, I've stumped him. That's great. So Callum Hart, who is still playing to this day, he's at Salisbury and a pretty regular in the Salisbury side. But yeah, Callum Hart was the player. It was the benchmark of coldness was, yeah, watching him on a sunny, you know, game stockings on, gloves on. He didn't exactly look like the tough defender that maybe we needed at the time, but he had his moments. But ultimately, yeah, it didn't work out long term. But more importantly, Sam didn't know it. Barker, back of the net. Yes.
Well done, Sean. I'm extremely disappointed. Extremely.
Well, the only way you can make up for it, Sam, and this is going to be a little treat for the listeners, and Sam doesn't know we're about to do this, but to send us out today, I learned a new skill that Sam has during the outtakes. Turns out he makes a really good owl noise with his hands, and he can also play a tune. Now, because it is 1 year on since that day when we won promotion to the Premier League, if you were listening to the game commentary or whether you were there, you probably would have remembered that the Match of the Day theme song was sung around the ground. So to send us out this week, in a second we will have Sam with his owl impression just to reminisce about that glorious day. But from me, Sean, and from Sam, this has been Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast, and we'll see you next week.
It's gone.
And it's Cummings through the middle. Recovering challenge from Edwards. Here's Hayter. He's onside. Hayter.
He's got it.
It's absolutely unbelievable. James Hayter has a 3-minute hat-trick at D Court.